I think you're confusing nice and evil again.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead.
From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Da Truce! The only liquor so good they name their father after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
We survived Halloween.
Yeah, we didn't have no trick-or-treaters.
But, well, the week and everything up to it was long and stuff, but...
I got a chocolate chip peanut butter cookie.
Okay.
That's not relevant to what we're talking about at all.
It's not professional to eat either on the show.
I don't care.
Alright. let's see here. I don't even know what to talk about. We were going to talk about, beginning with, we watched a Severance new release of The House on Straw Hill. So give a spoiler-free synopsis of the story, Dana.
Spoiler-free?
Yeah.
I don't know. Basically, this writer, played by Udo Kier, pronounce his name, moves temporarily to this house out in the, I guess it's out in the country, really.
Straw Hill?
Yeah, on Straw Hill, to write his newest novel. And he keeps seeing these visions or something, but it makes sense at the end, but I don't want to give away, you know, the ending, so I won't tell you too much about that. But basically, somebody's killing people off at this house on Straw Hill.
Well, he gets I guess he needs help, so they, reporter, or no, I'm sorry, secretary comes in on the train, right? Mm-hmm. And, she helps him out. And, of course, Udo Kier's a little horny, so, he makes
a
play.
He's a whole lot horny.
Of course, he's got his regular, F buddy is, Filona Richmond's or something. She's a famous kind of
sex star.
Well, you know,
or adult film star.
I don't think she did porn. I think she just did like
nudie
things in England and stuff. But
yeah, whatever.
Anyway, this one's I think was on the banned list in Britain, and we actually watched the first 3,000 copies, which I'm not sure if there's going to be any more beyond that, but came with a cool documentary. You only watched, it's about 2 hours long. We watched the first hour, called, you know, banned.
That's the video name.
Sadistic videos or something, but, or something of that nature, but, it's a cool watch. But as far as the movie, It's okay. I guess the main thing for it, there was some violence, but the main thing was the sex, the nudity, the masturbation, the lesbianism. So.
Yeah, but that's something I told Steve. I said, the movie would have been fantastic if they hadn't put all that in there. I didn't need to see that.
Well, I'm thinking that was just, they needed a selling point.
They needed some filler for the movie.
I think they needed.
Well, I'll tell you, that Fiona Richmond, I mean, I hope she never listens to this. But
dang, she's like 60 or older.
She's probably not going to listen to it, but I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But the woman just looks odd.
Well, but I mean.
And when she was having sex with Udo, she was making the funniest faces.
You don't know. Maybe she Udo can work it that way and drives her nuts. Hell, he's doing it with his pants on.
So, he can just unzip
whip it
on.
Out. One of the good extras on the main disc is an interview with Linda Hayden. Now,
who played the secretary.
Yeah, she played the secretary. And I never really, you know, sometimes you watch these movies and you don't really pay attention sometimes. And she's been in a few horror movies beyond this. She was in one, Taste the Blood of Dracula. And then she was in the more famous one, I guess, would be Blood on Satan's Claw. There's probably some more there, but I just can't remember them. But she was saying that she usually gets recognized from these movies, and it's usually they play around 3 o'clock in the morning because they're always late movies. So
she's
happy with that. But she did say that this movie was the one that she regretted. She did not care for House on Straw Hill.
She didn't care for that lesbian sex thing with Fiona.
I don't know if she did it, but I don't know. But what did you think about the picture quality? Very rarely is it anything look in HD. The print is beat up. It's not, well, I wouldn't say beat up, but it's got a lot of scratches on it, lines.
Yeah. I did see quite
and
a bit.
And I made sure after I watched it, I was watching the Blu-ray because it's a combo Blu-ray DVD. Mm. And it was the Blu-ray. So, I mean, honestly, I don't know if this movie really needed a Blu-ray release because of that. I think the DVD is going to look about the same,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to be a very small difference.
Evidently, they didn't take care of the negative, or they didn't have a very good print to start with.
Well, I don't think this movie, I think that they were saying they really didn't have a whole lot to work with. But
they warned you about that at the beginning.
Yeah, I would say they'll warn. But here's the thing, though. They don't sell it any other way. So, I guess, you know, I mean, I don't know why, but, you know, but whatever. I mean, it's there, so.
I thought it, but I will say, I thought it was a decent movie. I liked the, I guess, mystery aspect of it. But, and I'm not a prude. I've said that before. If you like to watch that kind of stuff, you like to watch two women in bed or multiple times of a man and woman.
Plus, this is not hardcore. They were kissing and touching
and
boobies and all that kind of stuff. Nothing, nothing porno related.
I'll just say, for what it was, it didn't add anything to the film. It didn't move the story along.
It added sleaziness to the film, which is what I was looking for.
Well, Steve and I were looking for two different things.
I think plus the inclusion of the documentary, that really helps it a lot because that kind of stuff is interesting and for this type of movies and stuff. So I'm not going to say it's something I'll rewatch a lot, but it's good for what it was.
It was worth a watch.
And finally, it's happened. You might be able to hear the sounds of the menu of Top Sensation, a.k.a. The Seducers, with two of the hottest women ever, Edwin Finnick and Rosabella Neri. I can't wait to watch this movie. And
Steve's just going to be just sitting there.
Hopefully.
And
even the menu's got them topless, T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Oh,
they got like a kaleidoscope, but it's both ladies. And whether topless, there's one picture where they're actually touching boobies together, which is extremely hot. Don't you agree?
I don't agree, but that's according to Steve's rules of women, I guess.
And also the day we got in a, this is really cool.
It is cool. Awesome.
Vinegar Syndrome had a sale on, and they said every order will get a special gift, which you never know what that means. It could mean...
something really crazy.
Well, Fright Rags, I got a piece of his shirt from Fright Rags, and then they sent some candy and a little card and stuff, like a little gift bag. So it could have been something like that, or it could have been, hey, here's some press material for our future releases. But no, they sent me basically, they couldn't sell them, but they sent me a Savage Water and something, The Invitation of Death, with the Hysteria Continues commentary, which they had to pull because... the owner of Savage Water for some reason thinks he's going to release that movie, and God, it doesn't need it. No, that's a horrible movie. I mean,
the whole purpose behind getting that would be for the Hysteria Continues.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to watch this as a straight. I need somebody to make fun of it because we watched it and it was not good in any circumstance. But anyway, I think Dana, we were at Wasteland and somebody had this for $50, and no. And of course, I had gotten a rip of it through the airwaves and of the entire DVD, so I was like happy with that. But anyway, it's just very strange. So I guess that's what they're going to do is send that out as a special gift, or maybe there's other people gets other special gifts. So, but I did get Night Train to Terror on Blu-ray disc, and
you'll have to watch that.
Yeah, we may watch that later today or something. Who knows? But. I want to go see me some hot women.
Oh, I want to talk about what I watched by myself last night.
Oh, God. Here
this
we go.
This is a bonus.
Here, you hold the thing and you talk. I'm going to pet the dog.
Okay. This is a bonus for anybody that likes to hear me talk.
Bonus, baby.
Which is probably like less than 1% of our listeners.
No, they don't like hearing me.
Well, anyway... Steve had done gone to bed, and I'm notorious for staying up late, so...
What'd you watch?
Steve already knows what I watched.
I don't remember now.
Okay. Well, there's this movie that we've tried repeatedly to watch, and those were half-hearted tries, including the Halloween party at the cabin.
Oh, yeah.
I
haven't watched it.
No, you didn't get past the credits.
I got past the first blonde-haired guy, which I assume is the director.
Nobody got past the credits until last night. I thought, this is supposed to be really crappy, but I'm going to give it a chance. It's a movie called Heavy Metal Massacre that came out, what, 89?
Yes.
And it's shot on video,
yes.
Obviously. And basically, from what I've read about the guy that directed it and starred in it and wrote it and all that jazz... is the guy's full of himself. He thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread or something. He's over the years he's gotten even more crazy, and he yells at people that insult his film, says he's the king of violence and he's a demon, and I don't know. The guy must have some major issues. But anyway, I decided to watch the movie, and I didn't quite get to the end, but the movie could have been better if they had put more thought process, I guess, into it. Because basically the guy that's doing the killing looks like this meek, shy dude that wouldn't say boo to anybody. And he's getting hookers and stuff and, like, doping them up and then hitting them with the... sledgehammers and slow motion and
boom.
Yeah, Steve's trying to scare me. And there is one scene that could have been awesome if I don't know what exactly they were trying to do with this scene, because he ties a chick up and he takes pliers, and you obviously think going towards her mouth, he's either going to pull her tongue out or pull her teeth out or something like that. From what I could tell, it looks like he pulls a wire or a hair out of her mouth. What that's supposed to be, I have no clue. But we will have more about Heavy Metal Massacre when I watch the rest of it. But that's what I've seen so far. Okay, I'm through.
Finally, I get to see some women on this movie.
I'm not really looking forward to seeing any women.
Well,
a mentally disabled man.
Okay. Here we go. We'll be back. Bye. Back. Later.
But the fiendish Dr. Fives was prepared for such an emergency, and building his face anew, he entered the crypt where he had enshrined his beloved wife, incredibly maintained, neither alive nor completely dead.
We finished up watching a movie from 1986. I happened to find the poster on eBay, and I thought, well, I'll watch it. It's called Bullies.
It's Canadian. And a lot of the people that had something to do with prom night had something to do with this movie.
Like
Brock Simpson.
Brock Simpson.
Who I never saw once in the movie.
Brock Simpson, I was telling Dana, she probably did the Brock Simpson back in the 90s.
And he really meant the Bart Simpson.
I guess you know about the story, but it's, I guess this couple and their teenage boy moves in to take over a general store in this mountain country, and then, of course, the local rednecks are big bullies. I mean, they
bully everybody.
The biggest jackasses you can find, and then they end up breaking people's arms, scratching cars, doing all kinds of stuff, and then they.
Then it gets worse. They move on to rape.
A little rape, and that pretty much is the final stand before the men in the family go a little ape.
Do you consider this the Canadian New Kids?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I don't know. I guess.
If you don't know what New Kids is, it's a
New Kids on the Block.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's got James Spader and Lori Loughlin. Who else is in it, Steve?
Nah, I can't remember.
Okay. But the story is kind of the same. This family moves into town.
But this is a gang, not really a family. But, yeah, the can't
say
like that.
James Spader usually plays these douchebags.
There's Maggie Cave.
Yeah, but there was somebody, their real name was Thick Wilson.
Thick, that's a great name. Look at that. John Bud Cardos.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he have something to do with Kingdom of the Spiders?
I think I believe it is. That name.
I believe it.
Peter Simpson and Paul Zaza wrote the Out of the Fire we're listening to. Oh, this is done in the province of British Columbia.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a pretty interesting, pretty.
It was decent.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen this one, so it was.
I never even heard of it.
Yeah. You go on eBay and look at posters from the 70s and 80s, you find some movies you never heard of.
And you can see Olivia Diabo or Kevin, a.k.a. Kevin Arnold's sister, in a wet t-shirt on this movie.
Yeah, she got some big ones.
Well, according to Steve.
She got big guns. But I guess we need to cover the movie we watched last week that I don't think we talked about.
Well, Steve says we didn't. So.
Was Top Sensation, Dana. In the new camera obscure release that cost me $43.
I don't know I don't know what to say about that really, because I know why Steve wanted to see it, because there's plenty of Edwin and
Rosalba,
how you pronounce her name, and various stages of undress.
They touch titties. They rub nipples together.
That didn't excite me in the
least. Oh, it got all over me.
Well, you're a man.
I am. I have proof I'm a man.
Yeah. And men and lesbians would get turned on by this, but I was not.
It's a movie that you can't really describe too much because it's just so out there. And it does.
I still didn't understand it after the movie.
They want to get that little boy who's maybe he's autistic or maybe he's just nuts, but they want to get him laid so he could maybe that would straighten his head out.
I think that'll help him.
So they brung Edwina on there to try to use her to get, you know, to do it, but he wasn't interested in her. And so.
He's interested in this country. You're
if right. They get up on this island and, they, I guess they, meet up. He gets on the island and meets up with a girl on there that, and, he takes a shine to her.
And so Edwin and Rosalba kind of get her on this yacht that they're on.
Yeah.
And seduce her, like get her drunk and seduce her and put makeup on her and all
yeah.
this.
Oh, stuff. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. You got the famous goat scene. Dana really got hot and bothered by that.
No, I did not. I didn't want to think about what could have possibly been going on.
Little goat was kind of chewing on Edwin's titty a little bit. Then it kind of... Then they
south of the border?
South.
Okay.
And then her tongue, she did say that the tongue felt like sandpaper or something.
What, when we watched the interview?
No, when she was talking in the movie, she said it was licking her fingers.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But the ending is, I won't go over the ending, but, because I mean, really, it doesn't matter. But the ending I saw in this movie is a little different than the one I'd seen previously. But it's just, completely, the tone of the movie changes and everything, and it's it's kind of a bummer.
I don't know that the movie had a tone.
Well, it was really just like super sexy dance party, and then it got real. That shit got real, and then it got, you know, a little crazier. But I liked it. It's pretty much
come on, Steve. Admit it. You like Edwin and
yeah. That's the only reason. But I mean.
If you don't like looking at sexy chicks half undressed and undressed.
Everybody likes looking at sexy chicks.
I don't.
Well, then that's a problem. Did we watch anything else? I think we did, but I can't remember what that last movie was, Dane. You remember?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I guess we lost that one.
I don't know, Stephen Lee.
We talked. Dana. Don't use my full name. Don't use my full name. Anyway, we got a great movie from a friend of ours.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Gross.
That's going to be entertaining.
And Daniel Boyd?
D. Boyd. I don't know.
And he wrote on there. He wrote on mine, but it's Jagoff Massacre.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, so we're going to watch that.
Because Tim's always entertaining. It never fails. If you watch something Tim's associated with, it's entertaining.
Yeah, and then Rick Fosselman. That was good. Rick. I need to see if we can get the sequel to that, Toxic Zombies, but I don't know. I think
is that the sequel to Holy Shit Zombies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tim says he just kept on bugging him until he made one. But, if you want to, it's Jagoff Massacre. If you look, do a Google search, you'll probably find it.
Tim's been talking about this movie.
Well, they filmed it for a while, yeah. But, I think it was $12 or $13 altogether with shipping, and it's definitely, I would say, we'll give a review on it, but I would say it's probably worth it, especially if you're up there in the Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area, because it's probably got more in-jokes for you guys. We probably won't get all of them.
Probably not, but Tim could explain it to us.
Maybe there's a commentary on track on that. Maybe Tim and Rick did a commentary track.
That would be awesome.
That's what you need to do on the special edition, but...
Steve's suggestion.
Yeah. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to get with Jens later after this movie.
Jens.
Bye.
We have to. We have to.
Now, from Carlo Ponte, the man who brought you Dr. Zhivago, comes a totally new motion picture experience. A journey into the bizarre, terrifying world of the psychosexual mind. Torso. It saturates the screen with terror.
I've called you here today for a good reason. What do you have here? Fragments of cloth.
Is one of these students a psychosexual killer?
Barbarously murdered just 1 week ago.
Or are they just playing erotic games? Not so innocent erotic games. Eager to test the limits of pleasure. A killer is stalking.
Well, that's a real good start. Why don't hang-ups come my way? Honey, even if you're queer or impotent, you're paying the price I charge just the same.
A psychosexual killer is stalking.
Son of a bitch!
What's happened?
That guy was spying on us.
Sean, what do we care if he was? Come back, Sean.
A killer who takes his pleasure differently. Torso. It saturates the screen with terror. Torso. A gripping motion picture about a killer's perverted hunger aroused to an animal frenzy. Torso. It saturates the screen with terror.
Breathe on it.
Well, now he's breathing on the recording.
So we watched the Jagoff Massacre.
It was fun.
Yinzers.
Yeah. If you don't know what a yinzer is, you gotta watch this movie.
Yeah, it's,
Tim plays multiple characters in it, so if you want to see Tim gross in multiple outfits and stuff like that, then you definitely need to see this movie.
Need a lot of... I'm not familiar with all the jokes, but...
it's Tim could explain them to you.
Yeah, oh God. That would be longer than the movie. I don't want
to...
Steve. I need the cliff notes.
Well, it was filmed very well. They must have had some great cameras. I don't know if they rented them or... probably have to ask Tim.
But then we watched some other movies. Home movies.
No, it was not. It was actually not a home movie. Home movie was what we watched the other night with the Estes family. But this was... a film, a homemade film that my cousin Jed did. I'm going to give a shout out to my cousin Jed.
Jed!
I'm sure he's going to appreciate that if he ever listens to this. I'm going to have to tell him to go to the Dead Pit site and check out our show. But anyway, he made this, I believe, in 2005. And I didn't really get around to getting the elements to edit it together until 2008. And Jed pretty much let me run with it, except he had two things that he wanted. He wanted the long shot at the beginning for anybody that ever gets to see this. Steve was privy to getting to see this on short film. Okay. There's a long shot at the beginning that Jed specified he wanted left in there, and an epic battle at the end that he also
yeah, it takes place in. At the Hawesville Prune Festival.
Oh, the Lewis Ford Heritage Festival.
Same thing.
Steve loves making fun of where I'm from. I'm sure if I tried hard enough, we could find some things to make fun of about Camelsville.
No, you don't have to try too hard.
But he's always making fun of where I lived previously. To
they have prune pie and prune juice.
I promise we're not a bunch of redneck hicks that don't know anything. But
no, they got the Walmart. That's all you need.
Walmart and but we do have something called the Lewisport Heritage Festival. Yeah. And parts of the film was shot there. The Lewisport boat ramp.
Wow.
The playground that's
the Lewisport driveway.
Lewisport driveway.
Well, you had that Lewisport boat ramp.
I'm serious. It's called the Lewisport boat ramp.
Well, and there's a driveway there too somewhere.
Well, whatever, Steve. There's a lake in Campbellsville in there.
Yeah, Green River Lake.
Okay.
Now, why is it called Green River Lake? I don't know.
I don't know. You'd have to ask. Maybe we could ask your mom sometime.
No, we ask my mom. That she'll go on for hours. Her and Tim need to get together and they can talk.
Oh, gosh.
Talk for a while.
You shouldn't talk shit about Tim.
Tim's
a good friend of ours.
I'm not down on him. I'm just saying he has a lot to say. Just like my mom. She could talk for an hour and a half and
I could talk a lot too.
She can get lost and not even know what the hell she's talking about anymore.
Oh, Steve. Make your mom sound like she's senile, and she's not.
She's a little senile.
No, she's not. But I'm very proud of my cousin for making this film. I think Jed worked very hard on it at the time. I don't think he had graduated from high school yet. I think they were probably entering into their last year of high school, he and the guys that helped him with the film. Definitely great. His most accomplished film. Steve has not seen the films before this. He had a lot better actors in this one. People that were willing to work together to make this film what right. Jed had envisioned it to be.
Right.
And, Steve, do you want to give a synopsis on the film?
Some kid gets mad because they won't go hunting with him, so he tracks them down and kills them.
And they have a little time warp thing.
They're
in the woods, and then they're at the Lewisport Heritage Festival.
Jed!
And Steve likes just screaming my cousin's name out like that. But, Jed, I really enjoyed watching it again.
God bless you, Jed.
We actually sat through the special features that I also edited and added credits to and music and all that. Steve, you have anything to say about my editing? I also edited the movie.
It's amazing. You're like a artist with a paintbrush. You take the colors and you make something out of them.
And I will say that Jed has furthered his education in filmmaking and also radio work. And he's doing an excellent job with both of those things. I think he's actually either in the process of or has moved back closer to home. So maybe we can get him into Louisville to visit sometime.
He's going to produce the Hawesville Nightly News.
No, I don't think that's what he's going to do. I envision Jed as becoming, and seriously, I think he's going to become what he always wanted to be and be a well-known, maybe not a famous director, but at least a well-known director where people will know his name.
Right.
You got anything else to add to that, Steve?
No.
And I love my cousin, and I'm proud of him.
Right. So we're going to try to find something else to watch tonight and see what we got.
Okay.
Aye.
Bye.
Jed!
People are going to wonder why you're doing that.
I don't care.
Are we still recording?
What does it show?
Steve.
Jed!
The movie you are about to watch is not a sequel to Witch Horror.
That secret that just came.
Wacky Tony on the PBS!
Hello!
I got a fucking crisis situation here.
Oh man, that's definitely Ajax. So what the fuck you guys say about Satanists?
They got fucking daggers and shit, dude. We took all his things. They got daggers.
Take that goddamn Cordell jersey! Go up to Fruit Loops! Tell my say what's up!
His date is a fucking jag-off.
You never miss a tanning session. She loves ranch dressing. She's a hottie. She's a hottie. Date, she'll like the other con, but Hans Ward's fine. She's a hottie. She's a hottie. Hey, she love it in the asshole, wear high heels to sandcastle. She's a fucking hottie, dude. And Asian's talking about.
Dude, the beluga whale is the bald eagle of the ocean.
That's fucking right, dude.
Dude, when the fucking climate change comes, and the Monongahela River fucking rises up and takes our houses away, like Barack Obama did to the coal industry.
All I'm saying is, when the race war hits, what side Yeadon's gonna be on?
After watching, watch Body Bags, which I don't think we talked about.
No, we didn't talk about Body Bags. I'm laughing about something else we're going to talk about here shortly.
I've never seen Body Bags, I must say.
And I couldn't believe you hadn't seen it.
I've been aware of it. I may even rented it, but I never watched it. So, it's a anthology, and it was the most animated I've seen, John Carpenter. He was playing kind of the, okay, he works in a morgue, and he's very animated, and he's got a little bit of makeup on, but he still looks corpses.
Yeah, but Steve, actually, you didn't watch the complete end of it.
That's all right. I was dead tired. Okay. That story wasn't that my... I mean, most of all these stories really are not that...
I think my favorite story was the first one with Robert Carradine.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, they're all kind of... Definitely, I mean, this was made for Showtime, or at least it ended up on Showtime.
Yeah, I think it was made for Showtime.
So, it's not got, like, a big budget or anything like that.
But, I mean, I thought it may have been the way the stories were executed. That what John Carpenter, I think, did the first two. And then I think it's, unless I'm wrong, people feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I think Toby Hooper did the last one, which had Mark Hamill in it. And you got to see more of Mark Hamill than you maybe should have ever had to see of Mark Hamill. But this was post-Star Wars, so.
How, it's like 91 or something, or
yeah.
Something. And so, transfer, I guess, looked good for HD and stuff. I guess I wasn't like a big fan of it, even, you know. I watched the extended cut of The Wolverine today, and it was like 2 hours and a half or maybe a little more.
Well, I didn't hear anything new. I was in the other room, so I was just hearing the dialogue. And I just, we went to see it at the movies, right?
Yeah, but there's more F-bombs in this one. And a lot, it seemed like there's a little more blood and, you know, a little bit more violence that they cut out for a PG-13 rating. But I think it was a little better the second time around, but it's still nothing. It's better than the first Wolverine movie.
Oh, I didn't see the first Wolverine
movie. I think that one was just a complete disaster, but this one's a little bit better, but I mean, I don't know. It's just something lacking, or we'll see. Then we spent, we watched a little bit of, JFK, the director's cut, which is 3.5 hours long. I decided to break it up in two viewings because that's a long.
Well, I think we're going to watch Forrest Gump tomorrow.
Yeah. But, there's a lot more stuff in this one, the director's cut, than.
There's a lot of people in this movie.
There's a lot of people. And there's a lot more people in it now since they got the director's cut. So,
there's even John Candy in
this movie. Well, yeah, but he's always been in it.
Joe Pesci.
They got some weird accents in this movie since they're trying to do it in New Orleans. It was funny the way, especially John Candy's.
And he kept saying, you dig? Of course, at the time period when this was supposed to be happening.
Then, we put it in and finally watched Sallow, so I checked it off my bucket list. There's a lot of,
excrement eating? Is that a nice way of putting it?
Yeah, but I would say that's.
More so than Human Centipede, and it's more graphically shown.
Yeah. And there's peeing on faces. There's a lot of dicks in this movie, real and fake, and then.
Yeah, I think we determined that the one was a fake penis.
I mean, I know that the director was mysteriously killed after this movie.
It's listed as.
And I'm not sure if that was right or wrong. I'm leaning toward right.
I don't think you should kill him, but I guess what the guy was trying to do, because from what I read about the director, he had always been really outspoken in his political views, and he was against fascism, and I guess he was trying to make a statement about how evil fascism is.
Well, okay, but I don't know.
That's the only sense I can make out of it. If I don't think of it in those terms, I don't think I could have sat through it because it wouldn't have had any point at all, because I was telling Steve early on in the film that at least things like I Spit on Your Grave and Last House on the Left had some sort of plot to them. And do you think I'd spoil it for anybody if I kind of gave away the ending?
No, don't give away the ending.
Okay, well, let me just say this.
Let's just say that it's...
There was no redemption in this movie. I Spit on Your Grave, she gets her revenge. Last House on the Left, the parents get revenge.
There is redemption. There's escape because a lot of those kids were killed at the end. That's the only way they got out of it, is getting killed.
Yeah, but that, to me, that's not redemption. What would have been redemption?
Well, I'm saying there is no happy ending here.
No, and I was just left with, you know, I hate to say it since we were talking about, you know, people having to eat poop and stuff like that, it left a bad taste in my mouth.
Dana forgot to get the chocolate pudding that we were supposed to eat when we watched the
poop
eating.
Steve mentioned chocolate pudding, and then he mentioned, chocolate ice cream, I know that it was chocolate and orange marmalade and some kind of biscuit dough that was used to make this, but alright, I'm just thinking, it looked like shit, and in my mind, that's what it was. And I just couldn't, you know, when they brought a big old platter of it out that all these kids had been saving up, or all the girls had been saving up, and they punished this one girl for, like, crapping in her bedpan or something.
Yeah.
And there's eyes being gouged out, tongues being cut off, people being scalped and hanged.
Yeah, but all those we could, you know, were pretty... HD really kind of gave away that, you know,
that was not.
Yeah, so, I mean, the one dude had, he's holding his eye open and had the fake eye in it, and they just popped the fake eye.
It looked too flat.
Yeah, so, and then the scalping, you could see the seam, so HD kind of spoiled those effects.
Yeah,
but.
So for those of you that saw that movie pre-HD,
I'd say don't even bother watching this. It's not fun at all. I mean, I don't even know why you would watch this, to be honest.
Well, I mean, there's other movies that aren't fun, but they had some kind of, like I said, redemption at the end. There's a revenge.
Well, that kind of stuff is true, but I mean, it's to me, a viewing pleasure, I'm not pleasure. You know, somebody has an ordeal, that's one thing, like Frontiers
mm-hmm.
or Martyrs, I mean... that's an ordeal.
And they get their revenge.
Well, Martyrs, there is no revenge, I don't think. But, I mean, that movie has a better ending than this one. And also the other kind of Nazi exploitation movies. Those are really, you know, you can actually have a good time with those because they're funny. Or you can make fun of them and stuff like this. This you really can't hardly make fun of because it's so, this is, you put yourself in the place of these kids getting forced to have sex and
being groped.
Being tortured. And eating poop and acting like dogs. I mean, it's just, there is no, there's just nothing there to make you feel anything other than despair and hopefulness, or
yeah,
you're gone, and I just don't think that's a, you know.
But you know what was disturbing to me? While the movie was going on, I had to have something else that I was doing, so I was actually reading reviews and stuff that people put on the message board about this movie on IMDb. And people were actually saying they got sexually aroused. Some people even said every scene in the movie got them sexually aroused. Seriously, I worry about the sanity of a person that got sexually aroused by any of this.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, that would be, this movie would be the quickest way to make me feel unsexual. It was unerotic, unsexual. There, you know. How could you get turned on by anything in that film?
I don't know. I had a boner halfway through.
You did not. Steve's
I had
not.
A big fake boner.
He borrowed it from that guy.
So, finally, we're going to watch The Brood in HD. I hadn't seen this movie in forever, so I wanted to, it just popped in my head. So, hey,
it's Cronenberg.
Yeah, and I've been hearing a little stuff about it lately that kind of made me remember it and say, I want to see it
again. And I think, you
again.
Know, some people may have other views on this, but I think Cronenberg's an excellent director. I think he's...
What about what he said about Stanley Kubrick saying The Shining wasn't... Stanley Kubrick didn't know how to shoot a horror film.
Well, I mean, Stephen King kind of said that, too. That he did... But I guess Stephen King had more right to say something because it was his.
Well, I don't know. And
but I mean, I'm not gonna fault David Cronenberg for saying that about it. I mean, he's entitled to his opinion.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing you don't. When you're famous, you're not entitled to an opinion if it's disparaging someone else.
Well, wasn't it our good friend Wesley Vance that was kind of downgrading Cronenberg for saying that?
Yeah. I didn't read it all, so I don't know. I don't really... It's not going to affect me one way or the other.
Well, okay. I've always said... Now, Kubrick made some movies that I'm not so interested in. Like, Eyes Wide Shut. I never did understand that movie. Still to this day, I don't understand it. Maybe somebody can enlighten me. But as far as The Shining goes, I can separate the two. Stephen King's story was one thing. Kubrick's film was a great horror film.
You need to watch Room 237.
I did watch it.
And then that'll tell you all you need to know about
about Shining. Conspiracy theories and Kubrick.
No, run it. You play the movie forward and on another screen run it backwards. And you'll see stuff.
Yeah, well, some people didn't
like a dragon.
Some people didn't like Room 237.
Well, I think it's awesome because it's crazy as hell.
It was an interesting watch. I'm not going to turn around and rewatch it tomorrow or anything.
It's on Netflix, which I suggest everybody watch it who likes The Shining. Because it's, whether or not you get anything out of it as far as you believe all this crap, it doesn't matter. It's still entertaining to see what people's imagination can come up with.
But as far as The Shining as a movie, if you can watch it and just watch it as a horror film, great. But to me, Kubrick's version of The Shining, Stephen King's version of The Shining is two totally different things, really.
Thank you, Mrs. Torrance.
Yeah, he's doing his Danny Torrance impression.
All right, we're going to get out of here so I don't have to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to watch The Brood.
Yay, and we'll be back later on.
We'll be back later, Mrs. Torrance.
So I jump ship in Hong Kong. And I make my way over to Tibet. And I get on as a looper and a course over there in Himalayas.
A looper?
A looper. You know, a caddy, a looper. Jock. So I tell them I'm a pro jock. And who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself. The 12th son of the Lama. The flowing robes, the grace, bald. Striking. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter, the Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga la Gunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Talking about The Brood, Dana.
Oh, I didn't even know we were recording. Sorry. we haven't talked about The Brood at all?
No.
Okay. David Cronenberg movie, which David Cronenberg's movies are typically about...
Body horror.
Yeah, body horror, something growing in the body. A disease that's causing you to go crazy, sexual, like STDs and stuff like that. It's always something grotesque happening to the body, either inside or outside.
Inside or outside.
But The Brood is no exception, but I don't really want to give that away completely because you kind of get a shock at the end, and so I don't want to...
Well, I guess the safest way to describe it is Art Hindle plays a...
I like Art Hindle.
He's got a daughter, and her mother is in this psychiatrist care. The mother is played by Samantha Eggert. Mm. And then the psychiatrist is the great Oliver Reed with his masterful voice and everything. And
it was on Burnt Offerings.
Yeah, he was on Curse of the Werewolf, too, back in...
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he has a lot of... He's in a lot of stuff, and he's usually pretty good in it. He's got some kind of, like, weird...
He's subtle, but he's... There's something always a little off with him.
But he's got a weird kind of thing that he's doing with his patients.
Yeah.
And, you know, Art Hindle's a little upset because I guess the daughter may have gotten bruised or something. And
he thinks it's some one of the patients or something is beating her.
Yeah.
or scratching her and doing all this terrible
stuff. I remember seeing this on HBO back in or one of the channels, because I'd never seen it, and I happened to see it one night, and it's pretty wacky.
I think the first time I saw it, it came on IFC.
Yeah, maybe it did when it was showing uncut movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe
it was close to Halloween.
Maybe I've seen it after there as well later. Let's just say there's some killings in this, and trying to figure out who the killer is or what the killer is.
Yeah. Because you see these little...
You see this,
I don't know, they look like dwarves or something, but they look like the little girl.
Right, they look like the daughter.
And there's a whole bunch of them.
Right. And then this is the first time I've seen it in so many years, I don't know if I remember some of it, but it takes place in the wintertime, I believe.
It's cold.
It's Canada, so it's, yeah. So
yeah,
it's
the little girl's wearing her like a
Yeah,
snow
I mean,
suit.
Everybody's wearing snow suits and little jackets and stuff. But it's definitely something worth checking out. I think Arrow or somebody in the UK put out a HD discs. That's what we watched, and it looked really good. No, I wouldn't say it looked pristine, but it looked good enough.
Yeah, but I thought it looked better than some previous versions I've seen
right.
of it.
So we'll be back, and we'll be talking about Forrest Gump, I believe, or something.
Well, we already talked about Forrest Gump.
I don't know.
All right. Okay, Steve don't have to edit. So.
No, Steve don't edit. Like, Machete don't text or tweet.
Well, Dana messed up.
So. Nah. So, we'll be back after this.
Beautiful, wealthy, jet-set widow with a driving urge to explode. An urge that is soon answered by young Peter Donovan. Catherine accepts his brutal love as passion. She even welcomes his friend Eva into a weird love triangle. And then, in a drugged fantasy, she begins to realize that their love is only a tool to strip away her morals, her millions, and her very life. This is Paranoia, the most diabolical extortion scheme ever devised, starring Carol Baker in the boldest performance of her career. Paranoia, rated X, because there was no other way to film this exercise in naked terror.
And we're back. Dana's watching some...
I was laughing at this little kid dancing.
She's watching some SmackDown.
That guy's got pink on.
Well, that one of them's gay. That one in the middle there.
Okay. Oh, but the other guy's got pink, too.
Well, the big guy, bald guy, he's not gay, but the middle one guy is. He looks like a black John Cena. Darren Young. He does.
No, he doesn't.
Fuck, he does. He looks just like John Cena. If he cut off that hair and put a hat on and...
Okay, whatever you saying.
Okay, well, anyway. We watched a few movies... Dan, I guess, wants to talk about an older 80s slasher movie called The Offering.
Actually, it's Offerings.
Offerings.
Yeah, I have to correct Steve.
Offerings.
He goes to bed and doesn't watch these movies. And
I watched it one time, I think.
Yeah, because he tried to start watching it again with me, and he said, I think we watched this. I've seen enough of it, and he turns it off.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I completed watching it after Steve went to bed one night. And it's a basic slasher story, I guess you'd say. These other kids pick on this little boy who doesn't talk, and they dare him to walk the well, and they scare him, and he falls in the well. And then, bam, next thing you know, he ends up in the mental hospital 10 years later, and he escapes.
But he's got a burnt face or something.
Well, I don't know exactly what happened. They didn't really explain that. I don't know if it happened in the fall or what, but
I think it happened in a script and they forgot to
film it.
They forgot to film it or something.
Maybe. You'd have to ask the director, Christopher Reynolds, if anybody can run him down. And he also acted in the movie. He played the doctor at the mental hospital at the beginning, for anybody that's seen that.
Ooh.
Remember, Steve, I told you that was the
She told me that.
Okay. So that's the basic plot. And would I be giving too much away if I explained why the title was called Offerings?
Probably.
Okay.
I'd be vague, but tell your opinion of it. Tell your opinion of the movie. Is it worth checking out?
I would definitely say yes, it's worth checking out. Now, are kids today going to like it? No, because they're used to watching Saw and remakes of every movie from the past that's ever come out. But old school people like me, yeah, so if you haven't seen it, it has, you know, some goofy acting in it, typical of those cheap, low-budget 80s slashers. But it's just fun, and, you know, it's worth, you know, sitting around for 90, 95 minutes and watching it. Steve, do you have any memories of it when you did watch it that you can share?
That his mom was a bitch.
His mom put cigarette ashes in his eggs in the morning.
She
was scary.
I know what we watched Sunday evening. Did we watch anything before that? I can't remember. No?
I can't.
Well, we decided that we needed to kind of clear our palate after watching Salo. So we watched Forrest Gump. And it's the first time I've watched it on Blu-ray. I've had it for a couple years.
And I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to say it on our podcast, that I believe that Forrest Gump is one of the greatest movies ever made. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest movies ever made.
I was looking at you and you wasn't watching me, so my throat was all tight because, you know, I get emotional watching the end of it. So it makes
seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I do too.
It's not like I'm going to bawl, but it gets really, my throat gets all like it's got something inside of it. Like
the whole part with Tom Hanks standing it, and I don't think I'm giving this away because if you ain't seen Forrest Gump by now, then where were you when this movie came out? But when Tom Hanks is standing at Jenny's grave and he's given the letter from her little boy and he's talking to her, that just kills me every time. Now, sometimes I will cry. I didn't cry this time, but Steve's right. You do get a little choked up watching.
And it looks,
things.
The movie looks very good. And the audio sound coming through all the, our speakers sound really good. So I mean, everything's, it's a great, and it's got a bunch of extras, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I haven't checked them out.
I can't remember all the extras right now, but I also have, Steve and I both have the Blu-ray, the Sapphire edition.
I don't think there's only like three of those.
Three?
I think there's only three Sapphire things. There's Gladiator, and Braveheart. I think there's only three.
Braveheart is my dad's all-time favorite movie, but that's a story for another day. But I could watch Forrest Gump any day of the week. Anytime you ask me you want to watch Forrest Gump, I would never turn that movie down.
I mean, to be honest with you, I forgot that Bubba died. I thought Bubba.
You forgot that Bubba Gump.
And then he died. I'm like, oh shit, did he die?
the Bubba Gump shrimp guy.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But anyway.
I have a little story to tell in connection with this. When the movie first came out, they had these box of chocolates. And I actually bought my mom one. And I think she still, I mean, we ate the chocolates out of it. We shouldn't have. We should have kept it sealed because no telling how much it would be worth now. But I think she still has the box somewhere. And I had a VHS of the making of Forrest Gump that showed how they did Lieutenant Dan's missing legs and a lot of other stuff. Because the special effects were done really, really well in this movie. They didn't overdo it. They blended, the way they blended Tom Hanks into that old footage was fantastic. I mean,
especially now, after over 10 years or more since that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when was it come out? was it early 90s?
So it could almost probably mid-90s.
So almost close to 20 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything, even the special effects and everything looked really good in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching a movie I'd seen before called Black Mass 2. That was what I was watching when I fell asleep.
Oh.
But they got some CG in that, and that is, you know, way dated, especially when you see it in HD. It's way dated, but the special effects and everything on Forrest Gump are still good.
They're pretty much seamless, too. I mean, it looks... I mean, people can correct me if they think I'm wrong, but
no.
It really looks like he is in that old footage.
Well, I mean, that... But, I mean, I think to me, that's impressive, but Lieutenant Dan's no legs is way more impressive.
Yeah, because they didn't overdo it. It was subtle and natural.
Well, it looked great. It looked real. It looked like he didn't have legs. Of course, some of the physics of him moving around didn't look quite right. But I mean, beyond that, and you know, who cares? But
that's the way CG should be done. It shouldn't be done with these creatures and snakes and spiders and stuff like that, because too much of it makes stuff look fake. Instead,
anything,
it was subtle.
Well, they can make stuff look really real now, but you got to have money. And in people with low budgets, as in Birdemic, for instance,
oh,
which is funny, but I mean, they should have not had fucking birds.
That's the worst use of CG.
That
I've
was
ever seen.
Duck Hunt quality CG.
Oh, but, Duck Hunt was
yeah.
The game Duck Hunt.
Yeah. But anyway, so that'll be the show for tonight. But
I have one thing I wanted to bring up that Steve did not watch, and I hope I don't spoil or steal Kyle and Tim's thunder by talking about a Ringo Starr movie.
Go.
I'm not going to talk about the one they were supposed to talk about on their show.
What did you watch?
I watched The Magic Christian.
Where'd you watch that at?
Online.
Yeah. Oh. On YouTube?
Yeah, it was on YouTube. So if you want to go to YouTube and watch The Magic Christian, you can. Of course, you'll have to watch it in parts. But for those of you that have never seen Magic Christian, I'll give you a plot synopsis real quick here. It's basically a story of this rich guy, Guy Grand, played by Peter Sellers, who adopts a homeless man played by Ringo Starr, and he becomes Youngman Grand. He adopts him, and they go these different places and pay people to do the most outlandish things. And the whole plot of the movie is how far will people go if you give them enough money. And there are some just really hilarious things. They go to this play. I can't remember if it's Hamlet or Macbeth or what the play is, but it's supposed to be this really sophisticated Shakespearean play, and they pay the main actor to do a striptease in front of everybody, and they get a policeman to eat the traffic tickets, and it keeps going on and on until it gets more and more outlandish until the very end. And I don't think this, I'm giving anything away because this is such an old movie. It's from the late 60s. That they have these businessmen in three-piece suits get into a vat of sewage and God knows what else because they put money in, like $100 bills and stuff in there. And so these guys are getting in there and sinking under that sewage and stuff and getting the money out. But I think even though the story was hilarious and I laughed a lot at it, I think the point it was trying to make is, are we that jaded? Are we that money hungry that we would do anything to get money, even if it was a dollar bill or something like that? And you got to take into account this was like 1968 or 1969. If it was 69, it was the year Steve was born. Steve, have you ever watched The Magic Christian?
No. I've seen The Magic Buddhist.
Magic Buddhist? No, I don't. But anything with Peter Sellers, I'll watch. And basically anything with Ringo Starr, I'll watch.
Will you watch Charlie Chan and The Curse of the something or other?
I don't know who's in it.
Peter Sellers.
Probably. I watched.
It was made by Playboy. Playboy made it. But it's a PG movie.
Peter Sellers made a lot of stuff in the 60s and 70s, and maybe possibly before that, but he did the Pink Panther stuff, and that's all. His Inspector Clouseau, I mean, I love Steve Martin, but when they made that new Pink Panther movie, the remake, didn't Steve Martin play Inspector Clouseau? Well,
two times. I think he made it.
Made a second one. Okay. Well, I never watched those, and no offense to Steve Martin, but Peter Sellers will always be that guy for me. It's just like Donald Pleasance will always be Dr. Loomis in the Halloween movies, no matter how many Rob Zombie remakes there are. So I have great respect for Peter Sellers. Now, I've read things that said he was really hard to get along with, and kind of maybe a little bit of a prima donna, and he had an alcohol problem, and he was mean to his wives, and I'm not sure how many wives he had, but anyway, as far as films go, he was great. And another person I like from and was in a film with him called There's a Girl in My Soup was Goldie Hawn, and she was in a ton of those mid to late 60s movies, Cactus Flower and Butterflies Are Free and all that. If you want to check those out, those are great movies too. But definitely, I can't recommend The Magic Christian enough. I need to get Steve to watch it sometime.
Mm.
He may have to watch it on YouTube.
He may.
But that's my little bonus review. Go watch The Magic Christian.
All right, well, if you're going to give a review, you watch part of this. It's an 80s movie I never heard of. It's coming out on DVD, I think, from like Code Red or somebody like that, called The Power. Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
There's this little idol, and it gives whoever possesses it, gives them power, but it also kind of takes away, takes away something from them. And also kind of, in some cases, transforms them into like a beast.
A demon or something. It kind of went into Evil Dead territory, I thought, a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's just a weird kind of, it had some pretty good practical effects.
I thought so, yeah.
But I don't know, it was worth a watch. I don't think I'll watch it again. But at the beginning, it's just like this professor has it, and he's using it, and then somebody comes and asks him for the idol, and then he says he doesn't have it. Next thing you know, I guess the idol picks up the teacher and throws him into a spear. And then,
I missed some of it, but a lot of the good demonic type effects I caught.
Somehow these three kids, not kids, but college students find it, and then they get tied up with a reporter and her male friend, and then the male friend kind of gets the idol a little bit more than everybody else, and he kind of turns into a demon.
He looks really
thing.
Weird, yeah.
And so stuff happens after that, but
doesn't he have a shrine to that one chick?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and she don't want nothing to do with him, but I don't know. It's something coming out. You might want to rent it, or if you can find it, who knows. But Dana wants to see a movie called Erotic Nights of the Living Dead, right?
I said I will give it a try.
All right, we're going to give that a try for the next show, so
be prepared for that one.
No poop eating.
Oh, good.
So we're out.
It's a lot of sex.
Sex and unusual way to open up a champagne bottle.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like, I would say that's more Cinema Wasteland style.
Yeah. For those of you that go to Cinema Wasteland, you'll know what Steve's talking about.
So, we're out.
Bye.